All right, again, we're teaching on this last part now. We're wrapping up. We're just kind of doing some touch-up work here on our building of this whole image inside of you of vengeance and recompense. Now, we've been teaching this in the series we call Manifesting the Sons of God. And in this teaching now, we're saying that we're in a prophetic time of the church, in that the church is moving into its finest hour. In fact, we call it the latter rain, time of the latter rain, and it's the most glorious time for the church, but it's going to be probably one of the most trying times for the world. And so we are here, and we're here, of course, to be able to bless and to be able to rescue. And a lot of things are happening with the earth itself, and the reason why is because it's under a curse. And it's busy straining and so forth. But what is it waiting for? It's waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, the blessed people, people who can turn ruined places into the Garden of Eden. Let's go over here and look at verse 14. And he says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you've not received a spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received a spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." Verse 19. "For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the Son of God." So we'll stop right there. All right. Now, the Bible says over in Ecclesiastes and also other places that God has reserved better things for us. He said that the better is the beginning of the thing or the end of a thing than the beginning or something like that. And over in Ecclesiastes. And we talked about boundaries, that you and I are not anymore marked by this world's boundaries, John chapter 17. Also, what we are talking about is the fact that this whole idea of revelation and who we are in these last days is going to be playing out, because this kingdom of God now is being preached, and it's, I said, one of the most or the most important message to the human race right now that they can hear. Because Jesus said, "Pray thy kingdom come, thy will be done," where? On earth as it is where? In heaven. So that's what we're looking for. And we're looking for the kingdom of God to be established here. Now, we know that back in the garden, we know that that was a type also of the kingdom of God, but Adam forfeited that. But Jesus came to reintroduce that kingdom. What I said before, that garden, the garden was a starting place. It was probably the hardest place man would know, that this Garden of Eden would get better. If you are a carpenter and you're building a house, you built your first house, it'll be one way. But if you built the 50th house, you know you've learned by what you built before. Also, the blessing is much more powerful. So we're saying that the end of a thing is going to be better than the beginning. And so God is going to do that himself. He's raising up a church that the Bible says in Joel chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, it talks about there's been nothing like you before, and it'll be nothing like you after you leave. And he says, even as you go on down, that you'll fall on a sword and it won't even hurt you. That the church is going to get what I called impervious. Say impervious, praise God. All right, you'll look it up. Glory to God. And, you know, sometimes you want to use a big word that nobody knows. And no, I'm just kidding. Praise the Lord. But God gave me that word, so I had to really look it up, make sure I knew what it meant. But anyway, as we press on now, we've been over in this area called Vengeance and Recompense, and we've been here for some time, but we're wrapping it up now, because what we talked about is justice in these last days, and God is a God of justice. So we want to learn a few more things about that and make sure that we understand it. Now, the understanding of vengeance and recompense. So let's go over to Luke again, Luke chapter 4, please, Luke chapter 4. Now, I'm going to have you turn pretty quickly. Hallelujah. Because I want to go right through this and call it a day. Praise the Lord. So, but I'm going to give it to you, give it the same thing, and hopefully I can give you a little bit more than I got this morning. If you look at Luke chapter 4 and start at verse 17, this is talking about Jesus. "And there was delivered unto him a book of the prophet Isaiah," or Isaiah's. "And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Notice you have to be anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. It'll help you if you look at the Amplified and look at that verse 19, give you expanded understanding of that. Next verse, verse 20. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. You track that now. This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. All right, now where was he reading from? He's reading from Isaiah 61. Now this was his mission. He read you what he was called to do right here. Now if you go back to Isaiah 61, let's go back. And if you can't turn to these scriptures quickly, they'll put them on the board and you can just get it and write the scripture reference down and you can set it out when you get at home. It says in verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then, boom, Jesus closed the book, sent out. That was it. But that wasn't the end of this, even this verse that he has outlined here. It said, and the day of vengeance of our God to comfort, or so as, if you put that in there, it'll help you, so as to comfort all that mourn. Comfort all that mourn. Holy Spirit, going to comfort you. Anything that's making you uncomfortable, he's going to remove. Now just stay here with me. Verse 3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit, as a spirit called heaviness, spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Trees of righteousness. Verse 4. And they shall build the old waste, and they shall raise up former desolations. They shall repair the waste cities and desolations of many generations. So you're going to do that. You're going to repair the cities. You're going to build the orphanages. Yes, you're going to build the businesses. Yes, Jesus wasn't called to do that. Yes, you were called to do that. Yes, are you with me here? Yes, sir. All right. So as we go along, if you go on down there, you'll see in verse 6, but ye shall be called the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you ministers of our God. Verse 7, for your shame you shall have double. Verse 8, for I, the Lord, love judgment. I ask you to change that word to what? Justice. And I hate robbery for burnt offering. And I'll direct their work in truth, and I'll make an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them that they are the seed which the Lord has done what? The Lord has blessed. Now, I'll just stop right here for right now. Now, this is a prophetic time that we're in. These scriptures, this stuff's got to come to pass. These things have got to come to pass before Jesus comes. Now, as we look at this, we're saying that the Bible, in this case, is thematic, that the things that are happening in one place, happening in another, God doesn't change. He is giving you a picture of things, and it flows right through. The flow in the mind of God doesn't change. And if you look at this, this scripture is talking in terms of vengeance. We read vengeance here, and he talked about he loves justice and hates robbery. All right. So in this, we use the illustration of the children of Israel in Egypt. And the children of Israel in Egypt were in bondage, but at a certain time, they were supposed to be delivered. So God was raising up someone to deliver them. Now, as we look at this, let me get my notes here. As we look at this, we're seeing here that, let's go to it, because I don't want to hang around. I'm really going quickly. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10, please. Hebrews chapter 10. All right. Again, remember God says he loves justice. Didn't he say that?
Yes.
And he hates what? He hates robbery. Verse 30. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongs to who? Me. Who is me?
God.
And I will do what?
Recompense,
saith the Lord. Now we said what vengeance is. As we said, vengeance is not hatred or some emotional retaliation or some kind of anger, or I'm going to get back at you, or I'm going to see you at 3 o'clock, you and I, so forth. That's not vengeance. Vengeance is something that proceeds from the heart of God, from the love of justice, and it's a necessity for punishing offenders. What is recompense? Recompense is something that is a compensation. It's a compensation for something that's been done to someone to requite or make amends with someone. It's something that is repaying or paying damages for something that is done. Recompense. So vengeance and recompense. Now these are flowing together. Now what we did is we looked at a type of that's where Moses was being raised up to go down to Egypt to get children of Israel out of Egypt. So at first, Moses, as he was sensing a call on his life, he was being raised in the house of Pharaoh. And what happened in the house, he was growing up, and I'm sure he was taught and saw, you know, magicians come out and work all kind of witchcraft miracles and stuff that they were doing and so forth. So he knew all of this kind of stuff. So God was now calling Moses, and the call being on his life. And so, and nobody's born in the earth without a call. And so here's Moses. And so Moses saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew. And of course, what he did was, well, not of course, but he slayed the Egyptian. Well, he thought nobody would find out, but somehow a house Hebrew told Pharaoh. And so as a result of that, Pharaoh's going to kill him. And so next thing you know is he left town and he ran from Pharaoh. Why? Because Pharaoh's the most powerful man, one of the most powerful men in the earth at that time. So now Moses is going to the backside of the mountain and stays for 40 years. Now he's being tutored, of course, because probably by Jethro's wife. But he's getting Jethro's children. But he's getting the world, Egypt, out of him and getting the kingdom in. So God is preparing him now to go back down to Pharaoh. Now he didn't know that's going to be his call. But one day he sees a burning bush and all that, and the call comes. So the next thing that happens is God's telling him to go down there and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Well, now he said, well, wait a minute. First of all, I can't talk. First, blah, 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 whatever things are. So God told him, well, now who made your mouth? And you know, I started looking that scripture up, who made your mouth? And I saw over in Numbers chapter 22 and 28, a donkey spoke. God, the Bible says, God had a donkey to open his mouth and talk to Balaam and preach to him. Now, if God can make a donkey preach, can't he use some of us to do some things? No, come on now. Well, you know you're in trouble when your donkey starts talking to you, don't you? Okay, so as a result of this, here he was, and God is telling him to go down there. Now, he knows how powerful this man is. Now, I'm saying that first thing he thought about is himself. In other words, you know, the whole idea of him killing that Egyptian and so forth was not right. Why? Because he did it in the flesh. He did it, he was getting revenge and so forth and so on. And sometimes when you see things happening in the world, the tendency is we want to try to fix it the world's way. But God has another way that we are to operate in things. Are you following what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so as a result of that, Moses got to go back down here. But the thing of it is he said, you know, Moses saying, you know, who shall I say sent me? Well, the idea is that Moses knows how powerful Pharaoh is and that Pharaoh could order him killed. And Moses wants to have some kind of assurance about he's going to come out of there, that this is not going to be his last visit, you know. And so God begins to demonstrate his power to Moses. Now, what we said about that is this, is that one, justice is a vital part of kingdom manifestation. Justice is a vital part of kingdom manifestation. That God has a plan for people's lives, and many times the justice system of the world is the main target of demonic abuse, because the enemy can take the justice system of the world and use it to mistreat a whole lot of people. And so you and I have been sent here for such a time as this. God has a plan for us, and part of that plan is for us to go in and be able to pull those systems that have been against God back into divine alignment. And so now, here, this advancing of the kingdom includes us confronting some of the injustice that is in the world. Now, before, I'm telling you, I had not heard much of this before. Now, I know it was a part of God's plan because we've seen it. I've seen it. If you go back to the time of Martin Luther King, of course, he preached from Amos, I think chapter 5, where it says, let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. And he preached that. And the idea about that is that we're not going to stop until justice is done. And over in Gandhi's life, Gandhi, of course, was brought up as a lawyer over in South Africa, and then he went back to India. But he knew justice. He knew that things were not right, and he knew to call for justice. So there's a lot of injustice in the land. And so as justice systems are under attack, that God wants to restore justice, that every place that we go in these last days, the laws and ordinances need to be adjusted so that people can live in peace. And what I did is I showed you what happens when people or justice is not done. Let's go over to Ecclesiastes, please, and chapter 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Glory to God. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Just let me know when you get there. Hallelujah. Okay, in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, look what it says in verse 11. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. In other words, when people are not, when justice is not done quickly, that people feel it's okay to do wrong. Well, if that be the case, you just got a world of chaos. So God has got to send his sheriffs out, glory to God, to bring a place under the jurisdiction of the kingdom. So now, as we look at this, we said that understanding vengeance creates a significant change in your attitude and your behavior. Understanding vengeance creates a significant change in your attitude and your behavior. Now, what we said is this, that once Jesus left, then the Holy Ghost took over the ministry, and that the ministry of Christ has now been duly and completely handed over to the person of the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost is now ministering. And the number one job of the Holy Spirit, we said, is to execute vengeance upon all the enemies of God's people, and nothing shall escape him. So now, as we're in his hands, we're in good hands with God, because now vengeance, which is vital to kingdom manifestation, has got to be done. Justice has got to be done in every place, and God's going to use us to do that. So we're going to have to stand up against injustice. But as we do stand against injustice, we've got to know that we are divinely positioned and divinely protected, that nothing can touch us. So what we did is we started looking at places where people had to stand up against something, or that this vengeance and recompense was taking off. And one of the places we looked is Genesis chapter 20, and we look at Abimelech, and Abimelech took Abraham's wife and took her into his own palace. And the Bible said in verse 3 of chapter 20, and God came to Abimelech in a dream by night, and he said to him, behold, you are but a dead man, for you have a woman, for the woman which you have taken, she is another man's wife. And Abimelech started pleading, said, wait a minute, Lord, he told me she was a sister. She told me that. I did it in the integrity of my own heart. And God said, yeah, that's why I didn't destroy you. And then verse 7, pardon me. Now, therefore, restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for you, and you shall live. And if thou restore her not, know that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. Now, what we said there is thou shalt surely die. But what we did is we went to some scripture in Ezekiel chapter 33, don't leave that, because I'm right there. Ezekiel chapter 33, put it up on the board, scriptural person, and look up Ezekiel 33 and verse 11, please. And here's what it says. He says, "Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked." So God is not out to kill folk. I'm just letting you know, when you mess with God's people, though, there's some justice that's got to come in there. Are you following what I'm saying? All right. So what we said about that is, notice Abimelech couldn't even molest her. And I'm saying this, that understanding vengeance and recompense creates a brand new attitude and behavior for you. You become impervious, incapable of being injured or impaired. So now even accidents have to stop in your life. All molestation has to stop in your life. There's no more attacks in your life. You will not be humiliated anymore in your life. And notice what happened. Let's come on down here to verse 16. "And Sarah said, Behold," I'm talking about Genesis 20 now. "And Sarah said, Behold, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver, and behold, he is to thee a covering of the eyes unto all that are with thee and with all other." Thus she was reproved. And I said, "Lord, what does that mean?" He said, "Look it up in the Living Bible. Here's what it says." Then he turned to Sarah and said, "Look," he said, "I am giving your brother 1,000 silver pieces as damages for what I did, to compensate for any embarrassment and to settle any claim against me regarding the matter. Now justice has been done." So I'm telling you right now that what has happened is that some things may have been done to you. But I have good news for you, that God has kept records of what has happened to his people. God has been keeping records of what has been done to you. Heaven has monitored the abuses and injustices against God's people. And the thief is the one that's to blame for all of this. Say amen to that. And so what has happened here is, we got to understand that redemption is not complete without divine provision. And so what has happened is that God's people were going to be set free out of Egypt from slavery, but they were going to get some recompense. They were going to get something as payback for what had been done to them. Say amen to that. All right. Now, I want to cover that, but just I want to cover one more thing first. We covered the fact that, now notice what I'm doing with this. I'm only making sure that you understand thoroughly what I've been teaching. Because when you do understand it, you'll rise up against some stuff and won't let the devil negotiate you out of your rights, which God has given you. Say amen to that. Amen. So what we said is that you and I represent a higher authority. Let's go over, please. And oh, by the way, over here in Genesis chapter 20, look at verse 17. "And Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech." So he was sick because of what he just did in terms of taking the woman in the house, and his wife, and his maidservants, and they bear children. "For the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of who? Sarah, Abraham's wife. I'm telling you that the devil has no more right to hold your children, no more right to hold people in your family, no more right. I'm saying that because we're under this new anointing, this latter day anointing, and this, all the things that the canker worm has taken away are going to be returned, and they're going to return seven times. And also that whatever has been resisting you and holding back God's plan for your life is going to be stopped right now. And also, this is a season for your restoration. Say, "This is my season." And every struggle in your life ends today because the comfort has come in your life. And I'm saying that what you've been struggling with, you'll struggle with no more. So every plan for God that he has for your life will be fulfilled. Say, "It will be fulfilled." All right. So what I said is, turn over to Isaiah chapter 33, please. And Isaiah chapter 33, it's very interesting because God says basically who he is. Now, in Isaiah 33, he said, "The Lord is a judge." Verse 22, please. He said, "The Lord is a judge." He said, "The Lord is our lawgiver, and the Lord is our who? He is our king." Now, The thing that I want you to get out of this is that you represent a higher authority. Say this with me. I represent a higher authority. Now, there is an earthly authority here in the earth. Now, I want you to get all of this. Glory to God. There's an earthly authority here in this earth. But there is a higher authority that you, the church, have access to. That the word that is coming from the systems of this earth are not the last word. Just like the doctor don't have the last word in this place. Come on now. Just like your mechanic don't have the last word in this place. The banker doesn't have the last word. Neither does the justice system of this earth have the last word. Because God is ruler over even the heathen. Glory to God. Now, over in Daniel chapter 4, this is Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar thought he was all that. Say all that. And you know what I mean by all that, don't you? He thought he was the greatest thing that ever came into this earth, and nothing was higher than him, and so forth and so on. But all of a sudden, he had this vision, or whatever have you, and that God was speaking to him, but he needed an interpreter. Daniel came in and interpreted it for him. And Daniel began to tell him what was going to happen. And he said that in this verse 24, if I can just start there, this is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High. Say Most High.
Most High.
Say El Elyon. Which is come upon my Lord the King, that they shall drive you from men, and thy dwelling shall be as the beasts of the field, and they shall make you to eat grass as an ox, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou shalt know. Now thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whosoever, come on, he will. Now, notice what he's telling Nebuchadnezzar. He said, wait a minute, now tell him this, that I know he thinks he's all that, but I'm the Most High God. I said, God is the Most High God. Now, I'm telling you this right now, because there is no system in this earth that is on the level of what you represent. I said, there is no system on this earth on the level by which you represent. And look what it said. And this said, let's say glory to God. And verse 28, all this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. And at the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. And the king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the words were still in his mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from you. Glory to God. Let me tell you something. God can take one down. He can put another one up. Say amen to that. I'm saying your promotion, the Bible says, does not come from the east or from the west or from the south, but it comes from the Lord. And I'm saying to you right now that when you walk in a room, it's supposed to be that you have such authority, where my notes are, that understanding the anointing that's on your life will cause that everywhere you walk, the hierarchy of the kingdom of darkness will give away to you and let you pass. I'm saying that's the time we're living in, and I want you to take on that attitude so that you can get the behavior in your life that when the devil tells you that those Bibles are coming out of those schools, you can step back and say, wait a minute, I have consulted a higher authority, and those Bibles are going back into those schools. I'm just telling you right now, He is Lord. He is King. He is the lawgiver. I know the laws were on the books about these public schools, but I got good news for you. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell in it. Don't tell me who got the last word. God has the last word. He's got the last word on your health. He's got the last word on your family. He's got the last word on your ministry. He's got the last word on your business. He's got the last word on your marriage. He's got the last word on your future. Now, you can look at CNN all you want to, and I don't have nothing against them, but they don't have the last word. I said they don't have the last word. And you can look at the Supreme Court of the United States. Thank God for the Supreme Court. But God is the lawgiver. I said God is the judge. Glory to God. You can look at the Congress. You can look at the White House. It doesn't make any difference. Thank God for them. I'm praying for all our leadership. But if somebody don't want to act right, I got authority to come in here and break down this thing and cause one to come down and another to come up. And I'm telling you, folks, we have been passive long enough. And I believe one of the reasons why we've been passive is because what we have heard. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 24, please. The devil is a liar. Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24. Let me know when you get it. Say, praise the Lord, somebody. Verse 5. A wise man is strong. Yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. You need some knowledge to get strong. Because vengeance hadn't been preached, we've been victims. You need knowledge. You need knowledge of who you are. You need knowledge of who you represent. You need knowledge to know that God is above the Congress. You need knowledge to know that He will put up one and take down another. You need knowledge to know that when you go before Pharaoh, nothing can touch you. Pharaoh couldn't order his head to be cut off because he couldn't even think that way. God can control a heathen's thought. He can make them run when ain't nobody chasing. He can make them give it all up and give it to you when they can't stand you. Because we got the God that we serve. It's El Elyon. He is the Most High God. And there is none like Him. Daniel knew something about this. When they told Daniel, he was rising. And the Bible says that he was being promoted because an excellent spirit was on him. An excellent spirit. God can put an excellent spirit on you. And let me tell you, and as he was rising, here his colleagues got jealous about it. They said, the only way we're going to stop this man is do something against his God. So they went to the king and conspired to make a law, to make an ordinance that nobody could worship or pray to anybody except the king at that time, Darius, and nobody could pray to anyone except him for the next 30 days. Hey, Daniel read that. It didn't make any difference. It that same day, he didn't have to think about it. He didn't have to wonder, let me see, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to do what is right and just. He went into his room, opened up the window, and began to pray to the God of heaven and earth, the God Jehovah, the God El Elyon, the God Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Rapha. He prayed to the God who is more than enough. And let me tell you what happened. They caught him praying. He didn't care. He prayed three times a day. He didn't say, okay, well, y'all just take the Bibles out of the schools. Pray the Lord. I'm going to tell you, the quality of your output is based on the quality of your input. If you are receiving some weak, watered-down message, some message that don't have enough oof in it for you to even sit up straight in your chair, you need to go get something to eat. And I'm telling you right now that you need to get a preacher that ain't ashamed of the gospel. He ain't scared to preach to you what you need to hear to straighten yourself up and get your narrow self on the right road. You need some preaching that's gonna put some power inside of you. And you're going to get it up in here. So if you don't want it, don't come around here. Because we're going to give it to you straight with no chaser. When you get this, you're going to go out there and say, give it to me now. You ain't going to be willing to wait on nothing else. Sit down. Let me finish this. Y'all got me preaching. Hey. Caught him praying. He knew his punishment was going to be capital punishment, but it didn't discourage him because he knew the God that he served. Now it says here in Proverbs chapter 24, it says, verse 10, if thou faint in the day of adversity, it's because you need something else to eat. Them Twinkies ain't gonna get you where you wanna go. Do y'all hear what I'm telling you? Now, if you will, turn with me over to Psalms and Psalms chapter 89. Psalms chapter 89. The devil is a liar. Look what it says in Psalms 89. Come on, I got 3 minutes and 15 seconds. Verse 14, justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before my face. Now, what is he saying here? He is saying the foundation, when you say habitation, put in your Bible foundation, that this is how important justice is to God. It is the very foundation of his throne. It is the very foundation of his throne. Justice is. Well, you got judgment, put justice in there. And look what it says in verse 20. I have found David, my servant, with my holy oil have I anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established. Mine arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his foes before his face and plague them that hate him. This is God talking here now. Let me read it to you out of the Message translation. It says, I found David my servant and poured holy oil on his head. I'll keep my hands steady on him. Yes, I'll stick with him through thick and thin. No enemy will get the best of him. No scoundrel will do him in. I'll weed out all who oppose him. I'll clean out all who hate him. I'm with him for good, and I love him forever, and I've set him on high. He's riding high. What am I telling you here? These things God has for us, this justice is available to us right now. And God loves justice. Now, understand, we need to deal with recompense. Because when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, God told Moses, tell them they're not coming out empty. And this is a piece that now we need to capture this piece. Because the enemy, again, is trying to negotiate out of something that belongs to us. Now we got to bring the enemy before the judge. Now, if we don't, that's our fault. On this 9/11, which was the tragic accident that happened at the World Trade Center, that is when, if you recall, they had a time where a lot of people's lives were lost, and the people who were remaining, what happened was they were working out some kind of compensation for their family and those who are related to them. So this payout to their families would enable them to continue on with a lifestyle that was acceptable in their lives. Now, there were some things that they told them that they have to do. One, they have to be eligible for this payout. Second, they had to fill out some forms for it. And then they had to present their case to some kind of judiciary panel. And then they had to wait on their judgment or settlement. Now, this is what they had to do. So what I'm saying is that this whole idea of compensation, justice is not just balancing the scales, but it's also providing a settlement for any pain or injury that you might have endured during the time that you were undergoing an attack by the devil. Do you hear what I'm saying? And I'm saying now we need to come back, because I'm not going to do this today, but we're going to come back and we're going to get here how we are to go before the judge and get our stuff back. And I'm saying to you now that some people lost the understanding of how God's justice system works, especially in the church. And I believe that the enemy has been getting away with a lot of our stuff. But I believe mine is up in escrow. And come on now. And it's time to call for it. I saw that Jesus, that donkey didn't come till he called for it. And you got to go back in scripture now and look up the scriptures, because in the scriptures, let's go back to Exodus real quick, and Exodus chapter 20, Exodus chapter 20. And let me know when you get there by saying, praise the Lord. Look what it says in verse 5. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God, visiting what? The iniquity, keep going, of the fathers upon the who? Children, keep going, until the third, come on, and fourth generations of them that what? Hate me. Well, doesn't it stand to reason that if God will visit the iniquity on generations past, why can't I get a recompense from generations past? I'm talking about the devil owes my mama something, because I saw her go through it. I saw my grandmama with arthritis. He holds up my great guy. I'm telling you right now, I bet you can find back to 10 generations. You can go back and get your stuff. The Bible says if the thief be found, he's going to have to pay. sevenfold, and he's going to have to exalt everything in his house. I'm here to tell you right now, a shift is coming. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 11, and we'll go home from there, but we'll come back, and we're going to get some stuff here. I said, we're going to get some stuff here. It's time for payday. It's time for this stuff to come in, but I want to get this thing into your right, and I understand now, he may not give you all of that at once because you can't handle all of it at once. You'll get kind of crazy, but I'm just saying, God has got a recompense for you, but what has happened is we hadn't called for it because this hadn't been taught. We hadn't had the faith to bring it in, but now faith has come. I said, faith has come. And I'm telling you right now, we need this recompense anyway, because there's some building that you and I are going to have to do. We're going to have to build some things, build up the old waste places, build former desolations, repair some cities, repair people's lives. We're going to turn prisons into boarding houses and boarding schools. We're going to rebuild Haiti. We're going to rebuild some of the flooded communities. We're going to create innovative education. Oh, yes, we're going to pay off the national debt and then own just about everything in the country. I'm telling you, this is our time, and we're going for it to get it. Look what it says here in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 31. Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in heaven. No, no, not in heaven. Where? Right on earth, right now. We got stuff coming before we leave here. If the thief be found, he's going to have to recompense and pay you back. We are finding him right now. Something has been done in your life. I know the enemy has stolen from you some kind of way, but I got good news for you. This is your day of deliverance. This is your day of recompense. Give the Lord a praise. That's all we got. Woo-wee. All right. You know, it's hard to teach this. You can't hardly do nothing but preach it. All right, now if you don't have to leave, don't get up and leave, because this ain't no movie theater. This is the house of God. Man. Okay? The house of God. Nobody goes out this front door here. They go out the side doors.